News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here hosting Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, folks, we got plenty more where that came from. Like I said a minute ago, I really do believe that freedom, and I said this literally, this is a line from my opening, my right side way, is that freedom is both instinctual, meaning that it's something that we naturally gravitate towards. People don't want to be imprisoned. They don't want to be restricted. They don't want to be held back. So it's instinctual, but I also believe it's intentional. The founding fathers knew that whereas the individual may yearn and seek for freedom, the founding fathers also knew that government has a tendency, if left unchecked, to restrict and take away those freedoms. And so they made it intentional as part of who we are as a nation. And I think I even said in there, it's not just who we are as a nation, it's why we are as a nation, in my opinion. Hey, Copper, I tell you what, let me just jump over to you. So freedom, what your thoughts on that concept that I just threw out there a minute ago?
Absolutely. I think it's worth fighting for, and instinctual and intentional, both necessary, I think. And it's one of the things that sets us apart from other creatures in our world.
Yes, and from other countries, really, if you get down to it. You're right. Other creatures now, they may instinctively seek freedom, but they don't intentionally go out to lay the groundwork to keep it.
Right.
Not like we do, because we have opportunities to reason and to think through things differently than any other creature on the earth. But that being said, look around at other countries too. There's no other country that has the full fabric of freedom written into their founding documents like we do, period. In fact, since we are such a melting pot, so much of what we were built on was people coming here for the freedoms that we guarantee as part of our founding documents. And I think that's getting lost sometimes in discussion. I was amazed when I watched that guy. Did you hear me mention the thing, Copper, about the MSNBC commentator?
Tell me again.
He said, I mentioned it earlier in my my monologue, that there's an MSNBC commentator I was watching, this is just last year, who was talking about the pandemic, and he said that there's too often a time in this country where there's people that just get freedom obsessed. And, you know, that he was going on to talk about how in a pandemic you got to shut things down and do all these things, and people got to understand you can't get freedom obsessed. And I thought, what a ridiculous thing to say, getting freedom obsessed. We better be freedom obsessed. We better be looking... Huh?
Imagine saying that of another desire that all humans orient toward. Stop getting so happiness obsessed. Can you just set that aside for now? Stop getting so love obsessed. We don't need to talk about that.
You're so obsessed with breathing. I mean, come on. Just please, for the love of God, just for a moment, please, could you put me obsessed with breathing? I think you know, in an emotional and in a mental state, that freedom is literally on par with the physical aspects of breathing. I mean, you don't want it. You find, like, so I've talked about that book before, Copper. You remember that book I mentioned before, and I mentioned it again in today, Escape from Camp 14. And folks, by the way, if you go to rightsideradio.org, that's our website for the show, there's a section on there for recommended reading. If we mention a book on the air, a lot of times it goes up on there so you can find it later. And this book, Escape from Camp 14, is amazing, because this book is literally the story of a guy who grew up, who was born into and grew up in a gulag in North Korea. He did not even know what freedom was. He had never had it. His understanding of life was complete and total repression from day one, and he still sought it out later. He did not know what the outside world outside the wire was. It was as if there was some kind of magic wall that he could not imagine getting through, until one day in the book, and this is so amazing to me, I mean, I think, and I no spoiler alerts here, but he actually turned in his parents, because that's the and his parents were killed because he turned them in, because they somehow scrounged extra meat for a meal one day. And they were already living on subsistence rations as it was. But he knew that in order to accommodate life, that he had to turn them into the guards, and his parents were executed. But he had a guy, an older gentleman, was forced to come to that gulag, and had grown up in the outside world, and would, when they worked side by side, would occasionally whisper to him stories about life on the outside. And he couldn't believe it. the guy would talk to him about having meat, you know, that you could buy at a store. And he couldn't believe it, because meat for them was when they killed a big rat. That was a big day. And so he decided he had to see for himself. And so one day he just set upon himself to go. And by the way, when it came down to it, it wasn't hard to get outside of the camp. But the people inside the camp had such a beaten down mentality, they didn't even try. So when he finally decided to try, he got through the wire. And the rest of the story is about his odyssey of coming to the West. And the thing that really struck me, I didn't know this, is that the South Korea, the nation of South Korea, actually has an entire department of their government that is solely dedicated to helping North Korean defectors come to grips with life with freedom, because they come out and it's so overwhelming. They have been so deprived, they have been so repressed, they have been so indoctrinated that they come out and they don't understand what it means to be allowed to move about freely, or to get a job that you want, not that you're told to have, or to have what you want on the table to eat because it's available to you. And it and the Western world overwhelms them at first. And so they literally have this department that their whole job is just to help them through the process. I mean, can you imagine? And it's an amazing book. So I recommend it, Escape from Camp 14. But it'll give you a solid glimpse of why what we have is so valuable, why what we have is so important. Hey, folks, when we get back from this break, I got something you're going to want to hear. Because an amazing thing just happened up in Connecticut. Connecticut, yes, it did. I've been talking to you about pushing back and about getting organized and about doing things for your community and saying, not on my watch. Man, I've got a story you're going to want to hear. Literally, how a community came together and basically overthrew their entire school board during a local election. Oh, yeah, this one's good. Plenty of stuff to talk about in that story. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here hosting Right Side Radio. And listen, by the way, if you find yourself getting outside of the pretty broad range of our AM-FM capability on WVNN, I mean, that pretty much means you're outside of North Alabama, South Tennessee. But if you find yourself getting outside the range and you want to keep on hearing the show or pick it up, you know, to begin with because you're on vacation or whatever else, listen, just go to rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. And just click listen live. And no matter where you is, there we is. I mean, we've got folks in multiple states right now. You know, Jeff from Indiana calls in all the time. We've got people calling in from other places around this state that are outside our range. We got listeners in Texas. We got listeners in Virginia, Indiana, I said, Mississippi, Louisiana. Lord, we got them all over the place. I got my buddy Jerome over in Rome, Georgia. Jerome, hope you're having a great day. Hey, listen, folks, just listen live, rightsideradio.org. Now, I was talking a minute ago before the break. Big doings here. I mean, this one is good. So I've been telling you that if there's a way for you to fight back, you need to find it. If there's a way for you to get invested in your local community, just your sphere of influence, you don't have to go change the world in one day. You know, you don't have to get out there and suddenly overthrow an election at the national level. No, not at all. What I'm saying is, there are things you can do in your community, and I'm telling you, freedom does not have to be done at some kind of national macro level. Freedom starts where you are. Freedom is one person standing up. Freedom is one person saying, "Not on my watch." Freedom is one person saying, "I see that. I think it needs to be different, or I think it needs to be preserved, or whatever the case may be," and they go at it. And so, folks, I'm just telling you, we have got a situation right here in Connecticut. So Guilford, Connecticut, great story I found this morning when I was going through my show prep on National Review, actually. And here's the headline. Anti-critical race theory parents sweep Connecticut school board primary, besting even the GOP incumbents. How cool is this? So what happened here was, and the way, I tell you what, the way the article starts off with is five parents hell-bent on keeping critical race theory out of the Guilford, Connecticut school district swept the Republican school board primary Tuesday night, advancing to the general election in November. So there's apparently a big to-do in Guilford, Connecticut about a critical race theory curriculum being adopted by the school board, three of whom were Republican incumbents, who were believed to just have rubber stamped it without even really trying to do a thing about it. And the local Republican Party was like, what the heck? And you know, they tried to defend their positions. Well, a bunch of parents got together. And by the way, the article even points out they were all political novices. Every single one of them. They had never run for office before. It names them names. There's five of them. And it says that they went at it. And it says that nearly half of all registered Republicans voted. Now, and it sounds crazy to say it, but 50% turnout in an election is pretty good. And what they did here, I mean, to me, this is a model for what can happen anywhere. You know, pick one candidate, pick two, pick three. But what happened was this group of folks, they looked at their school board, their local school board, and they said, you know what, that's got to stop. That's got to change. And so these candidates banded together. They didn't go out there and run independently, try to keep their little turf protected. No, they formed a joint platform. They said, we're here to make a sweeping change. And they together hired a campaign manager, a lady who was pivotal to their success. And this, by the way, this victory was by no means guaranteed. They had to work. They formed a grassroots effort. They jointly got together and hired a campaign manager. And listen, I've run campaigns before. I'm just telling you, it's work. It says they went out door to door. They had personal letters. They got you know, students and veterans and other video interviews. They put up yard signs. They did, you know, the automated kind of texts and calls. They had flyers, and they did more to get out the vote than anyone thought they could do, because they organized and did it together. And what they did was they went in and overwhelmingly threw out the three Republicans, and now they have five new Republicans all running for the school board. They're running for every seat on that board. They are going at it, and they're going at it together. I just think it's amazing. So this story, if you go to National Review, you can find it if you want to read it. But in my opinion, this story is like the model for what can happen. This is the model for what happened in Mountain Brook just recently. You've heard me talk about it on the show. That one also happened to be a critical race theory issue. It doesn't have to be critical race theory. It could be anything. It could be better curriculum. It could be budgeting issues. It can be whatever. It could be pandemic shutdowns, whatever. But all said and done, down in Mountain Brook, if you remember, there's this curriculum, which, by the way, is in the Huntsville City Schools. Have yet to see somebody stand up and say, go change that. But in Mountain Brook, the parents found out about it, and they said, what in God's name is that doing here? Why do we have that? Why are we teaching this thing called No Place for Hate that's put together by this uber-liberal organization called the Anti-Defamation League, an organization that believes that children should be allowed to pick their pronouns and declare their gender identities and that racism is a part of white privilege. And, I mean, this is what this organization espouses. And so these parents in Mountain Brook did the same thing these parents did up in Connecticut. They got active, man. They got busy. And they said, stop it. In this case, in Mountain Brook, they didn't run for office. They just got like 300 people that all turned out at a school board meeting, well organized. They had some flyers they had made that looked great, by the way. I've got a copy of one posted up on my website. Go to rightsideradio.org if you want to see the flyer they put together. And it's hanging up. There's a button right above the picture on the front page, and it says click here for info. I think it says click here for info on, well, I've got it right here. Let me see what it says. Website, yep. Yeah, it says view resource guides to the Anti-Defamation League. There's a button right at the top of the page. And so they went and they did the thing, and the school board backed down and took the curriculum out of schools. Yep. I'm just telling you, people, it doesn't have to be this like massive effort. It can be very local. Freedom doesn't necessarily start way out there in the big picture, you know, one over the world type view. Freedom starts where you have your feet standing right now. Freedom starts in your office. Freedom starts in your house. Freedom starts in your church. Freedom starts on your street corner. Freedom starts in your city hall. It doesn't matter how big or small the town is. Find that place, your little sphere of influence, and do something about it. You will be amazed. You'll be amazed at what can happen. And people will rally to the cause. They will. All right, so I'm sitting here right now. I got my right side rations, caffeine and chocolate, and I am going to be gunning through this show. I will tell you there's some things coming up right now that you're going to want to hear more about. We're going to talk about Milley, General Milley. I got some sound clips you're going to want to hear on that. We're going to talk about, we're going to talk about some things related to the fact that parental rights are being invaded. And in fact, let's do this right now. Copper, you go ahead, Copper, if you don't mind, get clip 10 ready. And let me know when you're ready on that. But let's do this. Before we get down to our next break, I want to hit this one clip. Because here I am talking about freedom. You do have some state legislators out there that are at the very least making some noise. All right? They're making some noise, and they're getting ready, and they're trying to make waves. I don't know to the extent that they'll be ultimately successful. But there's an attempt right now by some to go ahead and do that. Copper, do you have clip 10? Are you ready? I see you are. Let's do this. So clip 10 is Representative Chip Brown from Hollinger's Island here in Alabama. I'm not sure where that is. I need to find out. But he's got a bill right now that allows parents to opt out of any mask mandates. But his reasonings for doing so are not because he hates masks. His reasonings are related to freedom. Go ahead and play clip 10.
Currently, we don't have a mask mandate for adults in this state, so why should we force that on upon our children? And so it gets down to a rights issue, and the rights issue is I think parents should have a say-so in the health of their children and allow their children to, they're the ones, you know, Hillary Clinton famously said it takes a village to raise a child. Well, I think it takes parents to raise a child and allow these parents to have say-so in the health care of their child.
Perfect. So when I say things like freedom, listen, I'm not just talking about my right to bear arms. I'm not just talking about, you know, freedom of speech. I'm talking about lots of things, all right? Freedom, the concepts that we are a nation that respects those individual liberties and respects the rights that are embedded in our Constitution and respects, by the way, things like a parent having a say in what happens with their child's education or their child's health and welfare. That's big doings, and it cannot be taken lightly. And I appreciate Representative Chip Brown, who's got a bill right now that if Kyle Whitmire is writing an article on AO.com, all he'll talk about is he's anti-mask. He's trying to kill people. Alabama's going to die because this bill might get passed, and these Republicans. That's what liberals will say. But the undergirding, the core of what that bill was for, according to Representative Chip Brown, was based on the fact that parents should have a right to say what is best for their child. All right, folks, we're heading towards that show break right now. I'm gonna do that. Gonna get out there and let some of our right side team members have their say. And then when we get back, we're gonna continue this mode of freedom. And top of the hour, you're gonna wanna hang around. One of my favorite segments, Copper's Corner, is gonna be at the top of the hour. So just stay tuned, folks. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, and listen live wherever you are at rightsideradio.org. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here hosting Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. By the way, the t-shirts are ready. We're going to figure out how to start making those available to you. I got two versions, and they say literally on one side, just to have the Right Side Radio logo on the backside, one of them says solid conservative and just plain right, and the other one says proud to be a right side ruffian. Just be aware those shirts are ready, and we're working on right now how to post on the website so you can get those available to you. I'm pretty excited. Got coffee mugs coming too. I mean, since Right Side Rations include caffeine and chocolate, we're going to have coffee mugs. So that's a given, and those are in the works right now too. I'm loving the fact that the show has gained so much steam, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate this audience, because I've got a little sign right here that I talk about all the time, just a sticky note that I put right above me as I sit here in the studio, and it says, "It is an honor to have this platform." And it just is. It just is. It's the coolest job, man. I'm loving doing this. So, hey, folks, listen, I got to tell you real quick, too, about my friends at Otter Creek Farm. Part of the Right Side team from day one, Otter Creek Farm is an amazing oasis in North Alabama. You've got to check this place out. Go to their website. It's called ottercreekfarmstead.com. And you'll look at it and go, wow. And you'll see quickly why that place is so cool that Donald Trump Jr. came there most recently and stayed overnight. That's right, because you can stay overnight there. You can go quail and pheasant hunting. You can have amazing meals with their culinary staff. You can host a wedding or a corporate event there, or just go by yourself. And Charlene and I go out there all the time. Love it. Our friends Frank and Jane run the place. Otter Creek Farm. Go to ottercreekfarmstead.com. So I'm talking about freedom. I mean, the whole first hour here has largely been devoted to the concepts that we are a freedom-based nation. We're not just, as that one MSNBC hack had to say, some group of people that are obsessed with freedom. We are a group of people that are founded because of freedom. This nation exists because of freedom. Well, there's a story right now up on Fox News. Couldn't help but notice this. Here's the title. Now, I had seen something about this not long ago, but I hadn't pulled it onto the show yet. But literally, the title of the story, get this, published just 3 hours ago, Republican senator demands the National Archives stop putting warning labels on founding documents. What? You heard me. I'll read it again. Let it soak in. Republican senator demands National Archives stop putting warning labels on founding documents. Wokeism is everywhere, all right? Wokeism is even apparently in our National Archives. Wokeism is the concept that nothing that we have had all along is good enough, that everything must be torn down, changed, or molded to some new version of progressive reality, as they think of it. And I tell you what, too, I'm overdue to do a Adventures in Woke World spoof. I've got to do one soon. But this storyline here is literally saying that Senator Lankford from Oklahoma, Republican from Oklahoma, sent a letter to the National Archives demanded to know why there was a harmful language alert on the website regarding the nation's founding and pillar documents. And he says on there, in the letter, he says, "Most disturbing is the use of the alert for our nation's founding documents, including the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and the Bill of Rights, and it should be removed immediately." Now, the National Archives was reached for comment, and they say, "Oh, it's just a general warning." Okay, so it's a general warning. Why is there even a general warning about our founding documents? What could they possibly be? Well, he goes on to say, brace yourself. All right, some of you Right Side ruffians are out there leaning forward in your seat right now, I know. In his letter, Lankford points out that the warning says that some of the materials presented here may reflect outdated, biased, offensive, and possibly violent views and opinions. Good gosh, we're talking about our Constitution. We're talking about our, Declaration of Independence. And Lankford tells them in the letter, he says, "This obviously politically charged qualifier goes leaps and bounds beyond the role of the National Archives, which has been established to operate as a nonpartisan entity responsible for providing public access to federal records." And do we know that bad things have happened in our nation? Certainly. Does that mean that we have to put qualifiers in there? Do we need a safe space at the National Archives? Do we need to set up a little corner where you can go and stand and, oh, Copper, I see your reaction. Yes. You got a comment on this? Just jump right in there, Copper. I mean, I hear you.
If truth is triggering, then if you need a safe space, I recommend you don't set foot in the National Archives.
Yes. If truth is triggering. We could write an entire monologue on that. If truth is triggering. Truth is triggering to some people, though. It really is. And so this National Archives thing is literally just one more classic example of the left determined to rewrite history and to demean the founding of this great nation. And he goes on. Basically, he wears them out. Senator Lankford, thank you. From Oklahoma, thank you for wearing out the National Archives for this most ridiculous thing, the very idea that our founding documents are included in a blanket warning that, let me read it to you again, a blanket warning that some of the contents presented here or materials presented here may reflect outdated, biased, offensive, and possibly violent views and opinions. Kay, well, listen, if it's that scary, then perhaps you don't need to live here. I tell you what, if it's that scary, go live in a place where they don't have documents like the U.S. Constitution to preserve your rights and freedoms. Go for a day and live in Venezuela. Go for a day and live in Cuba. Go for a day and live in North Korea. Just go try it out. And then come back and tell me whether you really need your little snowflake warning at the top of our founding documents that discusses whether they are outdated, biased, offensive, and possibly violent views and opinions. Folks, freedom is worth fighting for. And sometimes it's things like this group in Connecticut decided they were going to take back their school board. Sometimes it's folks like the folks down in Mountain Brook that decided they weren't going to let it happen on their watch, and they raised Cain and got things changed. And sometimes it's one elected official, like Senator Lankford from Oklahoma, writing a letter to the National Archives and saying, what in God's name are you doing? Make that change now. And that's what's going to have to happen, people. That's what's going to have to happen. It's going to have to happen more often than you think, too, based on what we're seeing in the news right now. All right, folks, we got a break here, but we come back from this. It's Copper's Corner.